Speaking on this program is Brother James Watkins.
Recently, we were talking of a rock-solid faith. That is, a faith that is pleasing to God and very productive in the life of mankind. Based, of course, upon Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 through 4. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. Therein the elders had witness borne to them. By faith we understand that the worlds have been framed by the word of God, so that what is seen hath not been made out of things which appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he had testimony borne to him that he was righteous, God bearing witness with respect to his gifts, and through it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and he was not found, for God translated him. For before his translation he had witness borne to him that he walked pleasing to God. And without faith it is impossible to be well pleasing to him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. By faith Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, moved with godly fear and prepared an ark to the saving of his house, through which he condemned the world with an overthrow and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. That was the text of our studies recently. However, we didn't finish, naturally. There would be no way to cover all of the aspects of what is said in these seven verses, Hebrews chapter 11. Ah, but faith is indeed assurance. It gives, as the footnote suggests, substance to our expectations. There's no question about it. Faith anchors the soul. Hebrews chapter 6 at verse 18. We give our lives in humble obedience to the Lord's will. That is described in the New Testament as faith. That is the only way that we can please God, according to verse 6 of this text. For without faith, it is impossible to be well-pleasing to him. Now, he said therein, in this kind of obedient faith, the elders had witness borne to them, and that's the substance of chapter 11. These men who lived many years ago, and women, made themselves acceptable to God because they trusted him. Oh, but that trust was made manifest in simply doing what he said. Yes, but some of the requirements of the law of the Lord seemed baseless. I mean, and the person involved could not possibly see the end of the activity in which he is required to engage. Right. That's called faith. That's why even in the New Testament, Paul penned the unusual words of 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning at verse 18. You know, he said to them that perish. What's that? The preaching of the gospel, the word of the Lord, the simple instruction contained in God's will is to them that perish foolishness. Why would they perish? Because they consider God's word to be foolish. But on what basis? We're not talking about ignorant people. We're not talking about people without understanding. No, no. We're talking about basically good people, rational, sensible, logical people. Well, why would they perish? Because they consider God's word to be foolish, based on the fact that they cannot see a physical benefit. They do not see how that this particular requirement would bring about a visible, concrete, material reward. And that's why they simply do not accomplish God's will in the simple fundamental principles of the gospel. How many people do you know today who would say that, now, being buried in the water has nothing to do with salvation? Why would a person say that? Oh, because logically, he cannot, even with pencil and paper, write down premise, major, minor, and reach a logical conclusion. How is it that dipping the water would have to do with the remission of sin? That doesn't have anything to do with it at all. That misses the point. No, no. Salvation is by faith. Now, that is why God couched his requirements of me in terminology that I, from the physical, material standpoint, do not, cannot comprehend. I don't see the advantage, but you see, that's the lesson that we're learning from Hebrews chapter 11. Well, that's why we need to read and study the Old Testament. We need to devour the lessons that are learned in the law of Moses. Now, there are many examples. Whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and through comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Romans 15, verse 4, is it not? We need to check what is said, how God dealt with man, man's reaction to God's requirements, and God's blessings for those who thus accomplished His will. And when we do what He said, that is called faith. Now, there are many good people today, and I'm talking of good people. No question about that. You know, sometimes people get the idea, oh, you just hate folk, you don't like me, or you don't have a friend. Friend, you're an immortal soul. And in most cases, deeply religious, very sincere, and a wonderful neighbor, a fine person. And it's a joy to know you, to be associated with you. The point is, salvation from sin is not based upon mutual respect. That's important, and we do respect one another. Salvation from sin is not based upon a human philosophy that says, I'm okay, you're okay. Or that characteristic of this world today that says, hey, anything's right so long as it doesn't hurt you and it doesn't hurt someone else. Hey, if this is what you believe, that won't work. That just won't work. Even sincerity won't work doing the wrong thing. What was that statement there in verse 4? Oh, by faith, Abel offered. Now, you remember back in Genesis chapter 4, we've talked about this. Cain and Abel, the sons of Adam and Eve. Cain was a tiller of the soil, Abel a keeper of sheep. Cain, in process of time, brought the first fruit of the ground, an offering unto Jehovah. Now, as we look at it from the human standpoint, he wants to worship God. He recognizes the source of life's blessings, the fertility of the soil that brings about his wealth, his income, a blessing from God. He recognizes that. He wants to acknowledge that. He brings an offering, the first fruit of the ground, unto Jehovah. In the eyes of man, and as we view it from a physical standpoint, that sounds logical. That's what he ought to. Oh, but unto Abel and to his gift, God had respect. But unto Cain and to his gift, God had not respect. Well, just a moment. Why so? Well, we just read here in verse 4 of Hebrews chapter 11, by faith Abel offered. Now, faith cometh of hearing, and hearing of the word of God. How many times have we noted that? Romans chapter 10 at verse 17. God told these boys what to offer. Abel did what he said. Yes, but someone says Cain is just as sincere. He is willing to sacrifice. He looks to God. He believes in God. That doesn't have anything to do with it. Salvation is by faith. Romans chapter 3 at verse 28 and numerous other passages in the New Testament. In the Christian age, salvation is by faith. Oh, but that's always been the basis of man's acceptance with God. But what does faith do? Ah, that's interesting, isn't it? Indeed. A faith that obeys. A faith that trusts in God. We didn't notice verse 7. We talked about it, of course, earlier, but just very briefly, let's notice it again. By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, believed it. He just decided, well, fine, that's great. No. He did what God said. What? By faith, Noah, being warned of God concerning things not seen as yet, what was the thing that God warned him about? Oh, the flood, 120 years, and the flood will come and destroy all in whose nostrils is breathed the breath of life. Noah believed that. Well, sure. But how did he escape the flood? Oh, God gave him instructions for the construction of an ark. Oh, verse 22 of Hebrews of Genesis chapter 6, thus did Noah, according to all that God commanded him, so did he. Noah did what? Noah saved his house by faith. Well, how does faith save? By doing what God said. It's just that simple. There is no way that you can be religious. You can meet together and praise God. And we're not talking about bad people. No. We're talking about good people. We're talking about sincere people. We're talking about people that believe in God. There's no question about that. But they're not doing what God said. Oh, they believe in God, but they worship according to the dictates of a manual or a discipline or a catechism or the Confession of Faith or the Book of Mormon or the Koran or some other human philosophy. I believe in God and I'm going to do my thing. It won't work. You won't be saved. You don't really have faith. No, no. Faith cometh of hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Now, we believe a lot of things. Sure. We have a mental concept of certain relationships, and we can figure certain things out. No problem. We're intelligent people. Oh, but the faith that saves just simply does what God said. It comes from God's Word. But much of what God would require of me, I don't really see any... that's why faith is acceptable to God. I don't trust me. I don't rely upon me. I don't depend upon my feelings or my thinking or my concept of what is right or wrong. No, no, I listen to the Lord. Oh, well, you know, as we continue our study in this 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews, in verse 8, by faith, Abraham, when he was called, went out into a place that he was to receive for an inheritance. Oh, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. Wait a minute. Why would this man Abram, later called Abraham, why would he pull up his roots, as it were, remove himself and his family from familiar surroundings, a place where he was born, where he is known, and go into a place that he knew absolutely nothing about? Oh, you remember back in Genesis chapter 12? Now, it's chapter 12 that we read this statement. God said to Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'll show thee, and I'll make of thee a great nation. I'll bless them that bless thee, curse them that curse thee, and in thee shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Now, if you'll back up there to verse 27 of chapter 11, you will observe that Abraham's father, Terah, took his sons, Nahor and Abram, and their wives, Milcah and Sarai, and his grandson, Lot. You see, he had a son named Haran who died in the land of their nativity, that is, the Ur of the Chaldees, died before his father. Oh, but he had a son named Lot. So Terah took Lot, and as we said, Nahor and Abraham and their wives, and he headed out. And they got to Haran, a place that was referred to as Haran, and Terah lived 205 years, and he died. Then we read chapter 12. God said to Abram, get thee out of thy country. But if you will read Acts chapter 7, the first four verses, you will observe that Stephen here, by inspiration, tells us that while Abraham was still in Ur of the Chaldees, God said to him, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house. So the proper order of this was that God spoke to Abram in the land of his nativity, in Ur of the Chaldees. Well, why then do we read, beginning verse 27 of Hebrews chapter 11, that Terah led his family? Friends, this is the patriarchal age. The head of the family, the father, the patriarch. Oh, well, Terah believed what God said to Abraham also, did he not? Yes, sir. And they struck out and got as far as Haran. And, of course, Terah died. Now, when Terah died in Haran, Abram took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot, and they went into the land of Canaan. Why would he do that? God said to. You recall in Genesis chapter 15 that God made a covenant with Abram. Oh, yes. He told him that his descendants would be captives imposed upon in a land that was not their own. But he said, after 400 years, I will visit these people and I'll, of course, bring judgment upon those who would persecute them. And they'll come out with great substance. Oh, but he told Abraham, but you will go to your fathers in peace. You'll die in a ripe old age. Someone says, well, If Abraham is not going to know anything about the possession of the land of Canaan, sure, God promised it to him, but he didn't own a square foot of it. The only thing Abram owned in the land of Canaan was the field of Machpelah that had the cave in the end of it that he purchased from Ephraim the Hittite, you remember, for 400 pieces of silver. Why did he buy it? To bury his beloved Sarah. Oh, he buried Sarah in the cave of Machpelah. That's all he owned. Yes, but God said, I'll give this land to you. Right. But he gave it to him in promise. It would be inherited by his descendants. Well, someone says, why would Abraham obey God if it doesn't mean anything to him in a material? Oh, that's what we're looking for, if we aren't careful. You see, we are looking for material gain. We think that for some reason, when we walk with God, he should bless me with all kinds of material wealth. He should make my body absolutely healthy and free from this. It doesn't work that way. We are physical beings in the physical world temporarily. Actually, we are immortal spirits possessed of free moral agency. You see, faith understands that we are going to live forever. And the basis of my living with God in the beauty and the perfection of heaven is faith. So I accept what he said. But I not only believe what he said, but I make that faith manifest by doing what he said. I follow his instructions. By faith, Abraham, friends, he took a journey. What? Into a place that he was received for an inheritance. When did Abraham receive the land of Canaan? For he never did. No, that was to be to his descendants. God is arranging here the vehicle through which he would send his son, the Messiah, the Savior, into the world. What did Abraham do? He simply listened to God. Yes, by faith, Abraham became a sojourner in a strange land. A land not his own. Why did he do that? God said to, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, into a land that I'll show thee. Well, I'll make of thee a great nation. Yes, sir. He believed God. So he just gets up and here he goes. Into a land which he was received for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he became a sojourner in a strange land. Oh, dwelling in that strange land with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Why would he do that? Listen now. For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Yes, sir, there is something within us that enables us to comprehend the fact that we're not just physical beings in a physical world. No, you're an intelligent creature. You're a creature of choice. God said, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day that I place before you life and death, the blessing and the curse. Therefore, choose life that thou mayest live and thy seed. That's Deuteronomy 30 at verse 19. But the choice is mine. Why would I make a choice? Well, listen to God as he talks to Abraham. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed to go out into a land which he was received for an inheritance. He what? He obeyed, went out into a land which he was received for an inheritance. Why? For he looked for the city which hath the foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Is that in this material realm? No, it's not here. I can't have that here. I won't inherit that in flesh and blood. But how may I receive it? Just simply do what God said. Yes, but someone says, Preacher, I don't see the end result, the accomplishment of good in my doing what God said. It's a matter of faith. God said it. I believe it. Consequently, I'm going to do it. That's the way faith works. And we see the example of its value right here in Hebrews chapter 11. You know, that next verse tells us there that by faith even Sarah obtained power to conceive seed because she believed in him who made the requirements or the promises that Sarah will bear a son. Oh, wait a minute. By faith, Sarah, when she was past age, obtained the power to conceive seed. Right. Sarah was 90 years old. Right on. Oh, it was no longer with her after the manner of women. That is out of the question. From a natural standpoint, she simply could not conceive seed. She could not bear a child. That's out of the question. Do you remember chapter 18 of the book of Genesis? To me, that's most interesting. It reveals a number of things about men and about God in his dealing with men. You remember that two angels came to Abraham's tent. He went out, bowed before them, brought them in. He wanted to feed them, and so they said, "Do as you've said." And so he gets a calf and has a servant to dress it, and went in and told Sarah to knead the bread, etc., etc. And so he placed a good meal before these men. And one of them said, "When the time rolls around, Sarai, thy wife, will have a son." Well, Sarah was in the door of the tent, and she heard what that man, actually an angel, said. And the record says that she laughed within herself. Now, she didn't laugh out loud. No, no. You've done that very same thing. I'm not here. How could this be? And that angel said to Abraham, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh?" "Oh, she's afraid." And I can understand that. I can understand that. She said, I laugh not. She didn't laugh out loud, but in her heart, it to herself, you know, 90 years old, bear a son. She denied. She said, "I laugh." "Oh," but the angel said, "but thou didst laugh." Now, sometimes we have an idea that any infraction, any failure on my part to completely embrace all that God has said, just right off the top of my head, will bring a curse from... You know what they named that child? Isaac. Do you know what the name Isaac means? To laugh. To laugh. God understands human limitations. He knows my weaknesses. He understands how that some things are just incredible. Some things seemingly are beyond my mental capacity. I cannot embrace them, just like the apostles when the Lord fed the 5,000 with a little boy's lunch. Their hearts were hardened. How do you believe that? God understands that part of it. God understands. As long as I love him and I want to obey his will and I do that which he requires of me, he'll bring about the rest of it. Yes, sir. To Sarah, 90 years old, that's out of the question. It just can't happen. It's not going... Did. Yes, sir. She had a son. Oh, what did God say they were to name that son? To life. Yes, it is indeed a blessing. It is a joy to hear the Lord speak, to do what he says within the limits of my comprehension, to obey him in the material requirements that he makes, and to be then recipient of the blessings. You see, faith that complies with the Lord's will, and nothing else is called faith in the New Testament, will bring about a hope that anchors the soul, that enters into that which is within the veil, whither also Christ entered for us as a high priest to plead our cause before the Father. Friends, salvation is assured. It anchors the soul in hope of eternal life. So we need to pray every day, "Lord, help me in the study of thy word to apply the instruction that I find here." Oh, no, I don't see the end. I'm not able to figure it out logically as to how this will bring about this result. And it isn't material in the first place. It is spiritual. So I need to give my life in humble obedience to the Lord's will. And it's the most simple thing in the world to do. Without faith, impossible to please God. Well, in that verse 6 of Hebrews 11, why, sure. For he that cometh to God must believe. Or the believer that repents, confesses his faith in Jesus Christ as the Son of God, and is buried with his Lord in baptism, will have the old body of sin removed. He'll be raised a new creation in Christ to walk in newness of life. Friends, that's called faith. May God help us to give our lives in obedience.